was 10, wasn't it, Steve?
Yes, it was.
And he gave a parable. I'm going to give a paraphrase parable. Everybody's familiar with it, so I don't need to go through all the details. But there were these 10 virgins, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were dummies. And they were there for the marriage of the bridegroom. Now, a lot of people mistake this meaning of this whole thing. See, they think the virgins are the brides. No, the bridegroom marries one bride. Amen? They were there as part of the festivities. You see, this is one of these things where people get, well, the churches have gotten screwed up, and I'm hoping to straighten some of this stuff out in the weeks that I'm here, or the days that I'm here, or whatever it may turn out to be. That's why we're taking so long on this third night, on this right here. When Christ returns for the church, he's not returning for the bride. He's returning for the church. And then we will be with Christ when the bride comes, which is New Jerusalem. Now, these 10 virgins were special guests to show up for the wedding. And 5 of them had extra oil for the lamp, and 5 of them didn't. Now, oil here is representative of the Holy Spirit. And it is required that you be full of the Holy Spirit, your light burning, when the Lord comes, or it's going to stay to be you. Amen? Well, here's another part of it. When the children of Israel in the Old Testament were coming out of Egypt, there was a rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus. The children of Israel were going without water, they were complaining and everything, and God told Moses, said, go over and strike that rock. Now, folks, this wasn't a little Mickey Mouse rock. I mean, you know, this one's about the size of a doghouse. This was a large rock. And he went over there with his staff, and he struck that rock, and water started pouring out. This wasn't a little dribble, either. You figure all those people, their animals, and everything else, there was a lot of water coming out of that rock. Amen? And the striking of that rock represented the crucifixion of Jesus. When he was crucified. And the outpouring of the water represented the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. Remember the woman at the well? He said, woman, if you knew who spoke to you, you'd ask me for water and I'd give you living water. You see? Now, when the rock, there was time passed and the rock stopped giving forth water. And the people began to murmur again. And Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord said, go and ask the rock to give forth water. Speak to the rock. And Moses, so upset. He was so upset. You know that churches can get ministers upset to where they'll do something stupid? Huh? Did you know that? Just like children can get their parents upset to where the parents will do something stupid. Well, they got Moses so upset that he, instead of doing what God told him to do and speaking to the rock, he went and struck the rock a second time. And for striking the rock the second time, Moses wasn't permitted to go into the promised land. Do you see what I'm saying? Thank you. But there are 2 stories in here that I want you to see. Number one, when you feel low on the Holy Spirit, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're going on and you feel drained, you feel low, don't get excited. Just ask Jesus. Just ask Jesus to refill and to renew. Don't get stupid. Don't let others get stupid. You ministers, you need to know this. And you need to know as a congregation not to provoke your ministers to do something stupid, because you can cause them problems. Well, when Ricky plays that song, what are you doing sitting down, son? I might ask you to play any second now. When Ricky plays this song, think of the oil of that Holy Spirit. And the third part of this is God says He makes His ministers a flaming fire. How are you going to flame without fire? Huh? And what makes you flame? That fuel. What's the fuel? It's the Holy Spirit. So let's sing this song again, Ricky, and stir up that spirit within you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Steve, you're going to be my writer again tonight. And we left this up. This is our third night dealing with this. Somebody asked me earlier if we were going to be done tonight. No. But to give a little recap, we're in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. This is a very important subject. There is so much deception coming into the churches today. And Jesus warned us of this over in Matthew. He said, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many." And it's always amazing to me. I don't understand certain things. There's certain things I just don't understand. How people can read things and come up with some of the answers they come up with. Now, how many people have ever read that scripture verse or heard that scripture verse where Jesus warns him and says, "Verily, verily, you know, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name." Bunch of people read it. And you hear it preached and you hear it talked about that this is talking about false Christs. It's not talking about false Christs. He's not talking about false Christ. He talks about false Christ later on. He's saying that people will come in His name saying He, Jesus, is the Christ. See, look at that. If I said, "Steve, take heed, they will come in my name." What's my name? Richard. Many will come in my name saying, "I..." Who's I? Richard. And the Christ. Now, if I told you that, you'd say, you'd look out for people who came saying, "Richard sent me." Huh? Mm-hmm. He's the Christ. You'd look out for something, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus said, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name." Many will come in the name of Jesus, saying Jesus is the Christ. And they will deceive many. And as you know, what minister doesn't come to you in the name of the Lord? Have you ever been to any church where a minister said, "Well, I'm not of the Lord, and I don't believe in Him, but I'm coming to you anyway. I don't want you to believe everything I say." I haven't seen one do that yet. No, they'll come, "The Lord has sent me. I am a minister of the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, and I'm here to teach you." And then they'll come up with something stupid. Stupid. And everybody will believe it. And there's a lot of stupid things believed in the church today. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And one of the most important things to understand is how these three operations take place. Because if you can understand this, and understand an overview of the Word of God, you'll know the truth when it comes to you, and you'll know the fake. Is healing real? Yes, it is. Is deliverance real? Yes, it is. Miracles real? Yes, it is. Prophecy real? Yes, it is. But Remember, Jesus said, many shall come, saying, Lord, Lord, who shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven? And many will say, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and done many marvelous works? And I will say to them, get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who come in the name of the Lord, saying the Lord is the Christ, and then they deceive many. Huh? And as the days come closer and closer to the end, there's going to be more and more deception. Satan is going to put lying signs and wonders out. The Bible warns us. There will be lying signs and wonders. The Bible warns us. So how do you know? You know by the Word. You know by the Word. Peter was talking about the time he was in his letter. He's talking about the time of the transfiguration on the mountain. And he talked about the glory of the Lord and hearing the voice of God speak, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he turned around and said a marvelous thing. He said, but I got something better than that. I've got something more sure than that. And it's the Word. It's the Word. You can see. You can see a miracle. But how do you know if the miracle is of God? It glorifies God. Thank you, Jim. That's right. You see, you hear a lot of talk about false prophets. Amen? But what you don't hear is that false prophets' prophecies come to pass. And these churches don't teach that. They say, oh, he prophesied and didn't come to pass. He's a false prophet. No, he's not. To be a false prophet, the prophecy has to come to pass. And you say, wait a minute, Richard, you're getting it all messed up. The true prophet's prophecies come to pass. Yes, they do. See, to be a true prophet, the prophecy has to come to pass. To be a false prophet, the prophecy has to come to pass. So what about all those that the prophecy doesn't come to pass? Presumptuous prophets. There's three types of prophets. If the prophet prophesied and it cometh to pass, cometh to pass. But he said to you, let us follow after other gods, wherein ye had not known neither your fathers before you, thou shalt kill him. For it is prophesied to turn you away from the Lord thy God. Amen. If the prophet prophesied that it cometh to pass, thou shalt hear him. For he prophesied to the Lord thy God. So both the true and the false prophets' prophecies come to pass. But the true prophet will always point you to Jesus. The true prophet will always point you to the truth, to God, and it will never disagree with his word. The true prophet will never glorify himself. The true prophet will never prophesy about himself. The true prophet will never lift himself up. Never. The false prophet will lift himself up. And a false prophet will teach you things to turn you away from God and to something else. Amen? So, if you don't understand these and how these operate along with all this other stuff, you get into real stuff like this Toronto experience going on. Show me a scripture that backs it up. If you don't understand, if some of you don't know what I'm talking about, this Toronto experience, it's this new thing that's happening throughout the churches now, and they're talking, oh, God's moving in a new and wondrous and special way. And they come up there and they pray for this half of the church, this half falls down, and then they'll pray for this half falls down, and then you'll get up there and laugh, and they giggle and tickle, and God tickling you. Why?
Why they say this?
Yeah, he lives here.
I was at a service one time, and this was right before I had a meeting with one of the ministers. And they said the reason that you're getting tickled is God is wooing his bride and wants to flirt with you.
Foreplay.
Yeah.
I see. We used to call that petty before I was a Christian. This is, you know, if it wasn't so bad, it would be funny. It is disgusting. But hundreds of thousands of Christians are being caught up in this stuff because it's exciting. It's singular. I had a preacher come up to me one day and said, "Brother Richard, you don't make me feel good. When you preach, I don't get tingle." I said, "Praise God." "But I don't get the tingle witness that you're right." I said, "Look, sir, the only tingle you're going to get that I know of is from a prostitute. And I'm not a prostitute. Go look somewhere else." I know this talk offends some people, but the flesh is of this earth. Amen?
Amen.
In the flesh of the earth?
Yes, it is.
And what about the earth? Wasn't the earth cursed? If the earth was cursed and all that came from the earth is cursed, then is not this flesh cursed? Then what shall I listen to? That which is blessed, which is above, or that which is cursed, which is beneath? If I listen to feelings, I can make a mistake. Ricky Baldwin used to come to me all the time, whining and crying and moaning and groaning. "I don't get all excited. I don't feel all this stuff that everybody talks about." I said, "Praise God." Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with feeling joy in the Lord. Amen? There's nothing wrong with getting excited and feeling good. There's nothing wrong with feeling the anointing. But if you're being raised up in the ministry, and if you're being raised up to be powerful in God's Word, you've got to learn to trust God's Word.
Amen?
Amen. Not feelings.
Amen.
Do you realize, now doesn't the Bible teach divination is a sin? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, think about it a minute. If you're running around after feelings to know whether a thing be good or not, that's a form of divination.
It is.
Do you see that? Well, let's see now. He's speaking. Do I get a tingle on this? Oh, hallelujah. I got a tingle. I heard a preacher one time say the Lord told him to give all his virgins to him. I bet you if you've got a tingle on that one. Can't go by feelings. You can't do it. You can't even trust your eyesight. You can't trust your eyesight. But you can always trust the Word.
No.
Man comes into church and says, "I'm a minister of the Lord. And the Lord sent me here to heal you." Let's see what he does. If he heals them, praise God. Does he give the glory to God? Is he pointing you to Jesus? Is he saying, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and cease from sin"? Then praise God. You got to look at these things. But so, we have these churches out here getting into all kinds of stuff. It's like I was talking about last night. What we were talking about last night about the charismatic movement back in the 70s and the 60s. And how messed up it got. How did it get messed up? Because people were following feelings. They didn't look at the scripture to see what it said. Doctrinally, the apostles give out the gifts. That's doctrine. That's differences of administration. Well, did not Moses Did not God tell Moses, I will raise up a prophet after you, you know, of your kindred and brothers and all that stuff. I'll raise up a prophet like unto you. Who was he talking about? Jesus, yes. But who else was he talking about? Joshua. Moses didn't go to the promised land, did he? Who took the children of Israel in the promised land?
Joshua.
God gave the inheritance to Moses, didn't he? But it was Joshua who distributed it. Amen? Alright, if Moses was the one the inheritance was given to, and it was Joshua that gave out the inheritance, amen, the gifts in the Old Testament, then Moses would be a type and shadow of Christ. And Joshua would be a type and shadow of the apostles. See? Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? As Moses came, died, and God had Joshua go forth and give out the gifts, so Jesus came, died, resurrected, sent the Holy Spirit down at the day of Pentecost, and then the apostles gave out the gifts. Do you see? Alright, so diversity of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. When we get into these different gifts, it's going to be the same Holy Spirit that operates. It's not a different spirit. It's not you have one spirit, you have another spirit, you have another spirit. It's not a spirit of tongues, a spirit of prophecy. It's God's Holy Spirit. In whichever way it's working, He's working. Amen. Alright. So, we go to what we studied yesterday, how the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Cornelius and his household over there, they received it the same way. But the Samaritans, when Philip went down and preached, they didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit until the apostles came down and laid hands. Ephesians, that Apollos preached to, didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit until Paul came over and laid hands. Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by Ananias. So the episode of the day of Pentecost was diversity of operations. Same God. Ananias, same thing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Alright, Paul, same thing. But the Samaritans falls under number two. And the Ephesians falls under number two. Differences of administration. Just a little recap. You have the administration, like the administration of the president. That's officers below him. All right. The administration of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ the head. And he has apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians chapter 4. That's his administration. And he picks them. They serve him. Even though there's a line of authority there, apostles through teachers, that's a line of authority, but they're still all accountable to Jesus Christ. Amen? And the idea of Paul saying is, it doesn't matter whether you're called to be an apostle or another one's called to be a prophet or one's called to be an evangelist, you're still serving Jesus Christ, so don't think one's better than the other. Your job's different, that's all. Your job is different. You know, have you ever worked in a company where the management acted like they were your lords and made you feel like you were scum? Praise God, we don't work for that kind of organization. You see, we're all equal in the Lord. Some may hold different ranks of authority, but in Christ we're the same. Amen. Alright. So, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were. I said, why is he talking about this? Well, the same thing that happened in the charismatic movement. The gifts became idols. See? They stopped being gifts and became idols. People worship the gifts and not the gift giver. Amen? And everybody started running around trying to lay hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all this other stuff, and it opened the door. It opened the door for all kinds of garbage to come in. And you look out here to churches and you can see the result of it. Well, let's not have that here. Let's get out here and teach and preach right so we can stop it. And show what the real thing is all about. Alright? Wherefore I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. We talked about that a little bit, about how in Mark 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they lift up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not harm it. They'll lay hands on the sick, who will be healed. These signs are not gifts. They're signs. He didn't say, and these gifts shall follow. He said these signs. And those signs operate under number three, diversity of operations. God will use any Christian that he needs to, in an emergency or in his choosing of time, to lay hands on the sick, to heal them, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, raise the dead, whatever. He can do that. He's God. He has that authority. Hallelujah. I made a statement last night, and I was listening to the tape today, and I said, wow, that was a good statement. I wonder if anybody caught it. I didn't even catch it. It was good. It was a real one. You know, one of those real short ones. If you weren't paying attention, you'd miss it. What I said last night is, you don't control God. You obey God. Think of that a minute now. You see, one of the signs in this Toronto movement, Toronto experience, one of the signs in these churches that is taking place is this idea that you can control God. No way. You serve God. You obey God. You don't control God. You can entreat Him. You can implore Him. But you don't control Him. Amen. If you control Him, that makes you God. And let's face it, I'm not God, you're not God, and I praise God. Alright? So, the tongues spoken of in Mark 16 is not the gift of tongues that Paul's going to be talking about here. It's a sign. It's a sign that you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as you learn to speak in these tongues, you learn to communicate with God in the Spirit. And it humbles the soul, and it humbles the body, and the faith in the person increases. And you don't have to worry, because no one speaking in tongues can curse Jesus Christ. So you don't worry about it. No matter how stupid it sounds, just praise God and do it. Amen? And then the second part about, what was that? And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, is that you cannot receive Jesus except the Holy Ghost draw you. I could be the best preacher in the world. I know I'm not, but I could be. And I wouldn't convince you of anything. I could be the worst in the world. I know I'm not, but I'm not far from it. And I couldn't convince you of anything or keep you from believing anything. I never will forget. It was a humble event story about a guy, some people told me. They had witnessed to this guy on a street corner. And they gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And told him all about Jesus. He accepted the Lord, got on his knees, prayed, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They said, now here's the word. They hand you the Bible. Say, here's the word. And give the word to everybody you meet. And this young man, not the brightest guy in the world by some standards. I think he was pretty bright by God's standards, but he wasn't very bright by some people's standards. Took him literally. And he went out and he testified his testimony to everybody he saw. And about 6 months later, 3 months later, whatever it was, they ran into him again. He said, oh, by the way, do you have another one of those Bibles? And he said, yeah. Well, what do you need it for? Well, I ran out of mine. He said, what do you mean you ran out of it? Well, I did what you told me. I went out and I preached to everybody I saw. And those who accepted Christ, I gave them a page out of that Bible. Think of that. He couldn't read. The man couldn't read. Yet he got enough people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ that he was able to give away every page in his Bible and had to start all over again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd gladly give him another Bible.
Amen.
Gladly give him another Bible. The guy told me he almost jumped his case for tearing up the Holy Word. Yeah, here, take mine, tear it up. If it'll save people, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when people make an idol out of this, you know, I worship who it is, not what it is. Do you hear me? I worship who he is, not what it is. This is Jesus.
Amen.
The Logos. Jesus in writing. But the paper, I don't worship. Amen. And this is good to know. I mean, this is good to know, Ricky Jr., because when you go out there and witness to somebody, you know, you don't have to worry about whether you know enough. So many people don't witness for Christ because they're scared they don't know enough. All you need to know is Jesus.
Amen.
To be a witness is you testify. What has God done for you? What has Jesus done for you? That's all it is. Do you need to study? Yes. But praise God, you're not going to be. If you wait till you think you're ready to preach, you'll never preach. I've been doing it now for 25 years and I still don't think I'm ready to preach. Praise God, he gets me through it every time.
Amen.
Now we got down to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's what we got right here. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So, the administrations includes the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they themselves are gifts. their gifts through the church. Amen?
Amen.
So, whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes down from God, out of the clear blue sky, or whether somebody comes up, a little man or woman comes up to you and says, Lord, tell me to pray for you, or whether an apostle prays for you, it's all directed by God. Amen? All right. Let's get through this and get into some new stuff. Now, look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is a double-sided sword here. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's not to profit you. Say, wait a minute, I thought that's why we got it. No, it's to profit others. Huh? Where's that in Deuteronomy where it's got the blessings and curses? Turn to Deuteronomy 28 real quick. I walked out tonight, I was in a hurry and left my Bible at the house. I can't believe I did that. So I'm using this one. It's got little tiny letters in it. Come on, here it is. Now I'm not going to read through this whole thing. We'll be here through next week. But I want you to just bring out something here. Verse 1. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Can't run from them. Get on the Concord Hill. They'll be there waiting on you. Now overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. No matter where you live. You'll be blessed whether you live in the city, or blessed whether you be living in the countryside. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Now, did you notice something there? Blessed will be the fruit of thy ground. Huh? Didn't God curse the ground? Huh? Didn't God curse the ground? And didn't God curse everything from the ground? But if you are blessed of God, your ground is blessed too. In other words, it removes the curse from you. That's what receiving Jesus Christ is all about, right? To take away the curse. So if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive relief from that curse. Look at this. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now here's the verse I wanted you to look at. Verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. What's he talking about here, Junior?
Come in the church.
That's right. Blessed. You will be blessed when you come in the church, and you'll be blessed when you come out of the church. How many people go to church to bless? Most people go to church to get blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you have to go to church to get blessed, then you're not saved. That's all I know. You're still looking for salvation. You're still under the curse. Huh? Here he's talking about removing the curse. You'll be blessed. If you're cursed, you're not blessed. You're cursed. Amen? If you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're blessed. The curse is gone. You're blessed when you come in the church. You're blessed when you go out of the church. You're blessed in the city or in the countryside. Everything you have is blessed. Your children are blessed. Your finances are blessed. That funny looking tree you got in the backyard is blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I knew a guy that stood on this one time out down in Georgia. They had a drought. And it was killing the cotton. And this man went out and said, Lord, I'm a tither. And you said I'd be blessed if I kept your word. And I expect you to keep it. And he began to remind the word, the Lord, about his word right here. And as he was doing it, all of a sudden he heard pop, 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 pop. And the cotton bale started popping all through the fields. He was the only one that didn't lose a crop. That's blessed.
Amen.
That's blessed. God will bless you. And you go into the church and you be a blessing to those around you. So that's one of the problems with the church. Everybody is, what can I get? Gimme, 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 gimme. I used to say, man, it's so hard being a minister. You come into church and you see all these people in the spirit. They're like little baby birds with little mouths open. Dee, 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 dee. You ever seen a mother bird just running her feathers off, trying to feed a nest full of little babies? Huh? No wonder they don't live that long. Do you know ministers end up having to do the same thing? You look at some of these preachers, they don't have time to say hi or bye to their families. Why? Because they got a bunch of little babies in there. Gimme, 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 gimme. Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. When you're supposed to be out feeding others. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to get into that. It's in here. It says, every one of you, when you come in, bring a hymn or a scripture or a psalm. Did you know that? Well, Ricky Vaughn, he's leading this ministry here, but he shouldn't have to. He's not the only one in Jim. They're not the only ones that can give something to the Lord. You should be able to give something to the Lord. Every one of you. All right, so you're blessed. Now look over here in 15. This is the other side of the coin.
Verse 15,
chapter 28. But it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And it goes right down the line the opposite. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In other words, you're cursed. And everything you got's cursed. And you can go to church 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and still be cursed. Think of that now. You can come to my meetings. You can sit in a chair, and you can say hallelujah, and sing a song, and be cursed. Think of that. See, it's not doing what Richard Usler says. Shoot, you don't have to do what I say. You have to do what God says. If God says to do a thing, you do it. Obedience. Remember we talked about the other night about the valve that allows the Holy Spirit. And you took to let your spirit see things and your soul see things so you can see what's in heaven and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That vow is obedience. It's your obedience to God. So he says, if you do what I say, these blessings will be yours. If you don't do what I say, you'll be cursed. Simple. Back over to 1 Corinthians now. Now, and there are the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit so I could be profitable to you. See? Ricky received so he could be profitable to me. That's what it's all about.
Not profit
so I can be profitable to myself. Now, we're going to get into some of this. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Draw a line, just a little line here, and put one wisdom. You're going to have to put it tight. So don't go spread it way out, put it. One.
Word of wisdom, just wisdom.
Just wisdom. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. What's wisdom?
The ability to
sort out differences. Knowledge, that's coming up next, is to know a thing. Wisdom is to know what to do with the knowledge. See? Now look at this, number two. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Number two, knowledge. Alright, so, why did he do it like this? Why didn't he just give Jim here, why didn't he just give Jim the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom? Checks and balances. Amen. What are you batting 100? Checks and balances. It's called being part of the body of Christ. The hand doesn't walk. Although some walk on their hand. Amen. My ear doesn't see. My eyeball sees. My ear hears, and they kind of get together on things. Huh? All right. So, Jim, maybe he's given a word of wisdom. And Barb, maybe she's given a word of knowledge. Jeannie. So, Jeannie gives out the word of knowledge. And Steve says, what do we do with it? And all of a sudden, Jim, having the word of wisdom, says, this is what we do with it. Boom, 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 boom. Hallelujah. The church ministers together. As a body. Always keeping the eye on the head, which is Jesus. Always keeping the eye on the head. Which is Jesus. So now, when Jeannie gets the word of knowledge, and Jim gets the word of wisdom, still the same Spirit. Amen? But watch this. How it's used is to receive our praises. Huh? Now this goes back to what I said.